So I'm ending the series this morning about prayer. Carl spoke about prayer last week. And I just sense that God is not finished with us yet about prayer. So we continued in the week when we had the cell here at church about prayer. And I just sense that God still wants to say something to some of us. I clearly heard it in my spirit, you know, 3 weeks ago when we had intercession, that the Lord really wants us to pray and to seek Him, you know, in prayer. Not just so much pray more. Yes, we can do with more prayer. I think any one of us can do with more prayer. But really to allow that to become a lifestyle of prayer, to understand the purpose and power of prayer. And I think if you've been a Christian long enough, you might have struck that place, you know, where you sometimes question and understand, wonder, does God really hear my prayer? Or does He answer my prayer? Why does it seem like my prayer sometimes hit the ceiling? Or it's just so unfruitful. It's boring, you know. I don't know. I've experienced that. You might have not experienced it. Maybe you are so cool in Christ, you know. You never experience it. But I tell you what, I've experienced it. I've come to a place in my life where my prayer life sometimes, you know, just feels so unfruitful. And then you realize you have to do something about this. Because the fault is not necessarily, rephrase, not with God. It must be on my end. So somewhere there's a bit of tuning that needs to take place. And the consequence of us not in that place where we experience prayer as a fruitful place, as a place where I'm just revitalized, you come to a place where you feel abandoned, you feel that God is not thinking or doesn't care about your problems, you start questioning God's character or His integrity, or you just, your life just starts to feel unsettled and unstable, you know. And then it's when moments like these, when things become unsettled and unstable, and the storm starts raging, you know, then we suddenly approach God into prayer again. And as I said in the first service, you know, you just take out that spare wheel at the back there, and then we think that's prayer, you know. Now I have to pray so that things will happen and God will come through for me. But God, in fact, wants us to steer that. Prayer should be the steering wheel of our lives, you know, in which direction we go. And we come to, very often when we experience unanswered prayer, we come to premature conclusions, either about ourselves or about our prayers. And it's sometimes necessary that we go back to the Word and see what God says about prayer. But I have to say this to you this morning, and I said it to the first service people as well. I haven't got all the answers this morning. There's so much we can say about prayer. There's so much we can fill in and about that, you know. I was just preparing this week, you know, and then there's so much information, you know. And I've got so much scriptures and I've got so much info. And out of that, I have to compile one sermon and just say, Lord, what do you want to say to your people today, you know? And so I really want to encourage you, you know, to read and to see what the Word says about prayer, because there's a lot of blanks. The puzzle is not completed this morning. Although we've gone through the series, I think there's a lot more we can say about prayer and how and when and all these things. And I'm just touching on a few things which I believe the Lord wants to say to us and awaken that passion, awaken that desire for us just again to get to that place of prayer where prayer is fruitful and we understand. You know, Miles Monroe said, we can measure how much average Christians really believes in the effectiveness of prayer by the small number of people that attend our prayer meetings at church. Now, just reading that statement, I couldn't agree more, okay? And I don't want to show guilt this morning. All I'm saying is we have to get to that place where we understand the effectiveness of prayer. I'm not just here to tick the box and say, I've prayed. It's about me being here because I want to be here and I understand the purpose and power of that. So what is prayer this morning? What is prayer? My foundation that I found in the scripture, or the foundation of this all, if we go back to Genesis, and this is where it all starts, you know, it's interesting to say, you know, with the first verse, God refuted all religions. It's off the topic now, okay? When God said, in the beginning God created, He refuted all religions that would come after that, you know. But we will talk about that another day. That's just a thought that came in my mind, you know. So interesting, you know, we have so many religions today. And this one believes this. But just those three words, in the beginning God created. Anyway, Genesis 1, 26 to 27 says this. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The first statement that I want to say to you this morning, the second part of that, or first verse, the second line that says, let them, that should pop out this morning. That's where we start with prayer. Prayer is that key that you've got in your hand this morning that you don't know how to use sometimes, you know, including myself. That we often don't unlock the secrets in heaven or the treasures in heaven because we don't use that key very often. But when God created heaven and earth, he gave dominion to man, to me and you. And he said, let them. With those two words, it starts the whole thing of prayer. You know, whatever needs to happen there. Four principles this morning. Whatever needs to happen out there starts with let them, with let us. We need to start doing things. Because God gave legal authority to mankind. And without that, he excluded himself. So that whatever is happening here on earth right now, God is working through me and you. And he needs you and me to coordinate and to cooperate and to help and to do what he asks. With that as well, man became a legal steward of what's happening here on earth and what God has entrusted you with. And it is important to realize, you know, that you don't choose to be a steward. You are a steward automatically. You are. It just depends on what you are doing with what has been entrusted to you, you know. And my last or the fourth one I want to say this morning as well is that any interference from the supernatural is under a realm on the earth is only legal through mankind. All these other things, funny things that happen, that's not God. God works through people. That is how God works. He chooses. Isn't that great to think that God limits himself in a way, and it's sometimes for our religious mindset a bit boggling to think God is limited in a way. But yet he chooses to operate through mankind. And it happens. And one of those things is for what's coming out of here, our prayer life. So why should we pray? Why should we pray this morning? Why is it important? Why do we talk about these things? First of all, you know, as I was sitting this week and I'm just thinking, Lord, why should I pray? The first thing that popped up to my mind is relationship. You know, it all starts with relationship. We pray so that our relationship with the Father is deepened. You and me communicate because there's relationship. Without us communicating often, we wouldn't have a deep relationship. Likewise, it works with prayer as well, you know. It's not about getting this and getting that and doing this and doing all of those things. There's a place for that in the body and for prayer. But it all starts with relationship. When Jesus' disciples came to him and they said to him, Jesus, teach us how to pray. You know the prayer. He starts with, our Father. This is where it all starts. Not Lord, great Lord in heaven. And there's a place, and I'll get to that a little bit later. But it all starts with relationship. Galatians 4, verse 6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. That is why you and me are sitting here this morning, because there's relationship. Jesus chose to come to humble himself in the form of man, to come down from his position, to establish a relationship. God wanted a family. And in order to add a family, he had to sow something. And he sowed his son. And he had that relationship. And that's why we have prayer this morning. To deepen that relationship. We cannot just claim to have a relationship and never communicate. And that's why it's important. There's two parts. You should have. And I believe it. And honestly, that there's a time, and I can prove it to you in Scripture, that we have a scheduled time where we pray, where we say, or my time with God, where I say, this is a carved out time, this X amount of time, I just give out to God. But we cannot just have that time and then kind of ignore God during the day and there's no thought or no communication between. There should be a continuous communication. It's a lifestyle. It's a process of continuously talking to God, you know. Nor should it be the other side where we just think, you know, I never pray because I just pray in my car and as I'm going and wherever I go, you know. Because there's times it's necessary where we have to just take time out, you know, and just listen and hear what God has got to say for us, you know. And you know, it's like the relation or the comparison that they say, you know, with if you and your wife communicate like that, you know, your time that you communicate between is a, say for instance, you are very faithful in having your quiet time or time with the Lord, 5 to 6, whatever time it might be. Now, if you have the similar relationship with your wife, where you say, when your wife comes to you, or you have 5 to 6, you're talking, and then during the day she would come to you and say, listen, I need to talk to you about something. Then you tell her, listen, wait till tomorrow morning, 5 to 6 o'clock, you know. That is not a relationship. You know, and I honestly believe you will have a very angry wife very soon, you know. And your relationship will never deepen, you know. Likewise, you need to make time for that. There's a balance. There's bit of both needed in this whole thing. But it all boils down to one thing. It's about a relationship. It's about a continuous thing that needs to take place, you know. Not the legalistic type of thing. And that's why it's important to have those meetings, those scheduled times, but yet also during the day. You know, this is sometimes the most precious times for me when I just drive or I'm just at a place and the Lord just suddenly turns up and he's whispering this thought or he's talking to me about this. It's like a surprise suddenly just happening. And I realize, Lord, I didn't expect you to be here. I didn't expect you to open my eyes to see this right now. But thank you, Lord. It's just so refreshing, you know. And then also, there's a place where we need to pray cooperatively as a group together, you know. Because by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word shall be established according to the word. And that's what happens when we stand together in corporate prayer. And we pray and one of us hears this, and the other one hears this, and we're in agreement, and we agree on that. We see these things happening. Secondly, apart from the fact that prayer deepens our relationship with God, prayer reflects our dependence upon God. Okay? Man has got this ability to establish his own throne and just build his own throne. If we're not coming to that place where we realize we are so dependent upon the Creator, you know, we can build that throne so easily, you know. And that is why we have to come to that place to acknowledge, Lord, we need you in prayer. In Genesis 25, 21, we read, now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Think about this for a moment. God came to Abram. He said to Abram, you will have a great nation. Your seed, you will be blessed. Yet then, one generation later, his son Isaac, the seed through whom the world will be blessed and generations will come, because Abram didn't see that many. Today he will probably see when he saw the stars and he wondered, you know, sure, Lord, will that be my the people, my offspring, you know? But Abram hasn't seen that yet. Now Isaac is in this dilemma. The Lord promised him that his seed will run through him. Yet he gave him a barren wife. Oh Lord, I don't understand you. How is this possible? If you knew that it should happen through me, why did you give me a barren wife? But my statement this morning is that the promises of God is not automatic. It needs to be acquired through faith. It needs to be acquired through prayer. You know, very often we sit in a process where we are frustrated. We cannot understand. But God's word is saying this. But it's acquired through faith and prayer, you know. It's not just automatic that these things happen. And that's why Isaac had to approach God and plead with God and say, Lord, give me this child, you know. And that's what we have to do in life as well, very often, you know. We have to understand when we are in line with God's word. I have to say that as well. John 16 says, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he will give you, that the Father may be glorified. We tend to focus on that first part, whatever you ask the Father. And then we like, I can go out here and ask and acclaim. And yes, you said, whatever I ask. But we forget there's a second part of that verse, in my name. In my name means I'm in line with God's word for my life, what God wants right now, you know. And we wouldn't get discouraged when things doesn't come through like we expected it to come through because we're not at that place. And the second part of that as well, that I may be glorified. Will that glorify God? I shared the example, you know, when I was still in London. at that stage, I was just serving in the usher ministry, and the Lord just started talking to me. He said to me, I said, I had to apologize, not apologize, but I had to explain myself as well in the first service. It's not arrogantly, but the Lord said to me, pray, you're going to become the next usher leader. I'm like, Lord, this is no strange. But I had such a place of confidence because I knew that's just God talking. It's just not me desiring that position, because I never had, never had that position in mind or desired that position. So I just had to pray, God, let whatever needs to happen fall in place, you know. But then I realized the power when God says that's going to happen. Now call those things into existence so that it will happen, you know. Like we saw Wednesday night when Michael Howard shared about those things. When God gives you a burden for something, then you know if you heard from God, that is what you need to pray for, and that's not going to happen. You've got the absolute assurance that you will not fail. You just have to go through that process. That process of giving birth to God's purposes. But we have to realign ourselves to that place where we're in tune with God's will. Where we're in tune with what He wants for me. Then I can tap in just being that conduit and listening to what He's saying, to what the Spirit is saying, and call those things to the front. And that brings me to my third point. Prayer causes heaven to invade earth. Prayer causes heaven to invade earth. Call those things that are not as though they are. Romans 4 verse 17. That is what happens when we start praying. And I think I've explained this before. You know, God has already carved out certain things that already manifested in the spiritual realm, but not yet in the natural realm. You and me, we live in the natural realm. Spiritual realm, much more real than you and me that can see and touch each other. But we struggle to understand that one sometimes, you know. And then God says, that already took place. Just call that thing into existence. The kingdom will come in this city. The kingdom will come in that house. I want you to call that into existence. Speak those things into existence. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And then he goes on. In Isaiah 55 verse 11, we read that the Lord says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what it please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. My question to you this morning is, how does God's word return to him? He's talking about, my word shall not return to me void. If we look at Psalm 119 verse 89, that says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. That is the time when God spoke. God spoke once. We have His word. We have all the promises. And now it's settled. But how is it going to return? It's returning out of our mouth. We need to take that word now and declare it and call it forth. Like Romans 4 verse 17. To speak those things. And that's when the Lord says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. You and me are that second part. God's the first part, we're the second part. We speak that thing, those things, call those things, and it shall not return void, because God will bless it and see that that happens. And that's when we experience a time of breakthrough and fruitfulness in our prayer, when we are at that place where we know, you know, I'm just being the agent or just the messenger, sending out that and calling those things and seeing those things. It's not about me being brilliant or being smart or whatever, my prayer that's powerful. Yes, the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, but he's again tapped into the Spirit of God. He knows what to pray for, you know, and is at that place. But it's at that place where we are just the conduit of God, just that mouth. Now, how should we pray? Okay, there's probably, I just got 3 points here. I'll tell you, there's 10 points wouldn't be enough. There would probably be much more. So you can add on to this, you know, I just emphasize three of them, but you can really color the picture much more. First of all, pray with boldness. Boldness in who I am. And I already quoted the scripture, Galatians 4 verse 6, that says we are sons. And God has sent forth His Spirit into our hearts, crying out, Abba Father. But when we come to God, we can come to God with absolute confidence. You know, I'm His son, I'm His daughter. I don't have to beg this morning. Because God is my Father. When my little girl comes to me, you know, or runs to me after I've been coming home, you know, and she asks me, Daddy, what did you bring home? You know, there's something inside of me that excites me. Sometimes when I don't ask something, it's like I have a little bit of a disappointment. And I believe that the Lord wants to bless us, that the Lord sometimes wants to do the same, you know, that we can come to Him and approach Him with boldness and say, Lord, I love you. I just want to be here with you. And I have an absolute assurance in my relationship with the Lord. Luke 11:13 says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We have to understand, you know, we think we place God in a different box than us as fathers here on earth, you know. But God is working likewise, but even much more abundantly and above that, you know. If I as a father on earth wants to bless my children, just wants to have the best, I tell you, God wants to do 100% much more than that, you know. Because He is the ultimate Father. And that is why we can come to Him with assurance, you know, that God only wants the best for us. That's why when somebody once said, you know, when God answers your prayers, only one of three things. No, or yes, no, or not now, you know. There's only those three things, you know. And when God says no, and that's I've got a sermon about that, you know, it's actually interesting, you know. Sometimes that no causes you to have much more, be much better off than the yes, you know. But when we say, yeah, no, we think, oh, Lord, you spoil everything now. That's not what I wanted, you know. And we have to be content when God says no. And know that God loves me. He's my Father. He knows why He's saying that. But I have assurance. Then we can come to Him boldly because we have authority. Boldly because of the authority that He gave us. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God has given us the authority. He's given us those keys. And that's why we can come to Him boldly. Secondly, pray with reverence and respect. I have to explain this a bit more clearly. We, in the charismatic church, we tend to fall off the wagon on that side where we just get so familiar with God that we sometimes don't fear the Lord. And the way we talk and the way we approach Him, you know, we are, this is a buddy-buddy thing. God is my buddy, you know, and we've got it. While we have in the other streamline of a lot of other churches, we have God is so formal and we respect Him so much, there's sometimes a lack of that father relationship, that closeness, you know. We approach God always like He's afar there. And then we said, oh, okay, no, God is our Father, you know, and we're trying to, but then we fall off the wagon on the other side. There's both sides of the coin, you know. We have to understand the love of God and we have to understand the fear of the Lord. And there's a time and place in prayer where we sometimes just have to approach God with uttermost reverence and fear, knowing that He's the Father. And I use the example of if your father was the American president or Namibian president, you know, at home, you will approach him, you know, like a father, and you will jump on his lap and sit with him and just have a good time with him. But tomorrow morning, when he's in parliament, when he's sitting around with all his members, with people around him, you know, then he needs to make certain decisions. Then the child cannot just run in, because then his daddy is in a different role. And likewise with God sometimes, we have to be sensitive to know when God's holiness manifests in such a moment, then that's times when you just have to be careful for what you say, you know, and just experience that and understand Him and approach Him in such a way. You know, not like, you know, we in church, you know, we often, especially in the charismatic, sorry I'm using this example, but you know, we get so familiar with the Lord, we tend to use our, God said this and God said this, you know, and He told me this and this and this, you know, and later on, I just wonder, and I fell in that trap, you know, where I was so familiar and talking about God said this, God said that, you know, that God started rebuking me about that, you know, because you realize sometimes things doesn't happen as you said it happened, or what God said it happened, and then you never go back to that person to tell that person, listen here, actually I was wrong, actually I didn't hear the voice of the Lord there, you know. We have to be careful, you know, and treat it with respect and uttermost His word, you know, what we are saying. So then we come to a brother or sister and say, listen here, God said this. We have to make sure, you know, when God said this, because we are not sure in ourselves. Very often we've got a word, you know, and then we want to change things or direct things. And then we will, even we haven't got enough authority, we just add that flavor God said, you know, and then it settles everything. And now nobody can say anything. But we have to be careful with that, you know. Rather say God sends, you know, and it leaves us a bit of room for error so that we can say to each other, we all hear in part, we see in part still while we're here on earth. And it keeps us humble, you know, when we're that place when we know, I haven't tasted it all, I haven't seen it all, I haven't heard it all, but we are that place where we just treat it like that. My third one is pray with humility and sincerity. Humility and sincerity. Look at children. They're the prime example for us. Talk about praying in humility and sincerity, you know. Praying for my little cat. There, when you sit on around the table, or dinner table, and you ask them to pray, you just understand that there's an absolute sincerity in their prayers, you know. Something that we sometimes lack, you know. Because as we grow older, you know, we cannot pray for things like that anymore. We start to become distant from God and not honest always with God, you know. We would approach God, but we're not always allowing to press on that issue. We kind of think that God forget about those things, you know. But children are just so open. The relationship are just so open. There's an honesty with God. And another point I want to make as well under this subheading is that Bill Hybels said this thing, you know, and this is very important, that when we come to God and we name or we confess our sins, okay, because I believe there's a place every time when we have to mention those things, don't just throw it under one blanket and say, Lord, I confess my sins, what I've done wrong today, thank you, okay, let's go on in the rest part of the prayer, you know. We have to get to that place where we name those things individually and say, Lord, I don't think I've treated that person right today. How did you feel about that? I felt like that, you know. Where we really have a remorse for what we've done, you know. But if we just blanketly, collectively, throw all these things in one basket and just say, Lord, forgive me, your blood cleanses me. We never have a real remorse. But if you struggle, say for instance, with alcoholism, whatever, and you have to approach the Lord daily with the same problem, sometime something is going to strike in your spirit. And you understand, Lord, I cannot come to you every day with this thing. Every day I have to ask you sorry about this. We have to do something about that. But it's about taking ownership for what we are doing wrong sometimes and having real repentance. What happens when we pray? If you want to take your Bibles, we're going to turn to Acts 10. Verse 1 to 23. That was just my introduction. Okay. Don't have to worry. I won't be long here anymore. Acts 10, verse 1 to 23. We're going to read from there. Quite a bit of reading. But that's the climax where I want to take you to this morning to see what happens when we pray. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And now as he fell in this trance, he saw all these funny things on this blanket sheet, you know. All this food that they didn't eat. Pig feet, prawns, crayfish, you know. Leviticus 11, okay. Not those things. My wife saw that trance as well. She doesn't eat tripe, you know. As we're coming from last time from the farm, I had to hide that in the car, you know. So halfway, I thought I can share the secret now. I've got it in the car, you know. Tell her I've got the sheep's head in the back of the car, you know. I've been promised I can't take that into the house, you know. But that's what my wife believes. She says all things are not unclean or clean yet, but I believe it's clean. Anyway, get back to scripture. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, What God has cleansed you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to this house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. And the next day Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Okay, I want you to see two things that took place. You have got two groups here. You've got Simon Peter, or you've got Cornelius on this side, a devout Roman soldier that's just looking for God, that's given alms. And then you've got Simon Peter, the disciple of the Lord. Both of them are praying, a few hours apart from each other, before they even met. They are busy praying. And as Cornelius are praying to the Lord, seeking him, seeking this relationship, the Lord sends an angel to appears before him, and he instructs him to send men to connect with Peter. Peter's praying. Peter's got this vision that certain things are not clean, like the Jews, they were not allowed to mix with certain nations, and that's a different discussion. But they, up to that time, the gospel was preached primarily to the Jews. And then something happens when they pray. There's a connection that took place. And this is what I want us to see this morning. That when we pray, a prayer connection takes place. Because as Cornelius offered up a prayer, he was looking for a connection to plug itself into. As he's praying unto God. And Peter, Simon Peter, is praying to the Lord. The Lord showed him something. And the Lord knew something needs to take place here. I need to connect these two people. Even though they've never met in person, yet they met. They met. Their prayers met in heaven. That's why it's possible that out there this morning, we might have never met, but we might meet the moment when our prayers might have met. Let me rephrase that. You might be offering up a prayer this morning, yet you've never met that person. You might be asking, Lord, when are you sending my wife? Or when are you going to come through? And that person, that same end, is praying the same thing. God needs to connect those things sometimes, you know, in His time, you know. But not so much about what we want to have this morning. And here we have two men. Simon, fisherman. And then you have Cornelius, the Roman soldier, you know. Two different men. But God had to make that connection. But it happened through prayer. It happened through one man offering up a prayer. Hunger that met hunger. You know, and God had to make that connection. And I couldn't help to wonder how many of them is out there. How many people out there comes to that place in their life where they're so broken down, where they just don't have any hope more, where they pray out to a God that they do not know. People that are trapped in sin this morning, that cry out, Lord, if you're out there, would you come through for me? But it's looking for a prayer connection. Somebody on this side that says, Lord, here I am. Connect me. Use me wherever you can. And when that prayer is offered, and this prayer is offered on this side, in God's timing, when the ground is prepared, God can make that connection and bring it together. And when Peter and Cornelius prayed, it wasn't just two men that came together. It was two dispensations that came together. The dispensations of the Gentile and the Jews. And the door to the Gentiles was open. Up to this time, the gospel was preached primarily to the Jews. And through those two prayers, that a connection that took place, you and me are sitting here this morning because people understood the importance of prayer. Paul was was on the road of Damascus. And you know the story. Or Saul, up to that time, he had an encounter with a God. And he cried out to God, who are you? Who are you? Because up to that time, Paul was serving a different God on paper. You know, although He thought he served the same God. He realized up to that place he was persecuting someone. And then the Lord instructed him to go to Ananias and say, go to that man that he will pray for your sight. How many Sauls might be out there this morning waiting for Ananias this morning to pray for their sight? And we as the body this morning are sitting like Ananias. And God wants to say to us, go out there and pray for the sight of the Pauls out there that can make a difference in the world. We have to understand the purpose in prayer. Power of prayer. You know, we've been to Korichas about 3 weeks ago, and I just saw something about the hunger for people that really wants to just to have something of the Lord. You know, we were afterwards, after we ministered, we went to the hospital there, and we just, because somebody wanted prayer, and we thought we'd stop there. But as we are driving in, there's 3 security guards, you know. And I don't know, they must have heard, because the people in the back, some of the people that's driving with us from Korichas, they must have mentioned something. As we're driving in, we see the security guards, 2 of the security guards trail us as well, you know. They're coming here for prayer, lining up, you know. And we're just this, I'm just the servant of God, you know. I'm not this mighty prophet that came, you know. But I just saw, you know, that people are so hungry. And as we're walking into the hospital, now, we came for one guy specifically that was lame, you know. But there's 3 others. The one is listening to his radio, you know. The moment we walked in and he saw we're going to go in that direction, turns off the radio, and they're all lining up, like 4 or 5 of them, just waiting for prayer. But I just saw the hunger that's in people again, just to be touched by God, you know. And we need to get to that place where we're so hungry for the Lord, you know, to communicate with God, to connect with Him in prayer. And I was just, you know, taught something there again. And I'm ending this morning with this story. Can I have, Carol, can you have some music here for us? You know, they tell the story about the missionary in Cambodia. His name, because I think his name is Benile, the name of the missionary. And he was preaching into this little village, was preaching the message of the cross in this little village where there a lot of people were living there. And as he was preaching and he's sharing this message of the cross in that village, basically all the people responded to that and came to repentance, and they just gave their hearts to the Lord, you know. And afterwards, as he was gobsmacked by this whole thing that happened, how did so many people reacted, you know, because he's never seen it before, that so many people are responding to what he shared. He interviewed, or he asked one of the guys, how is it possible that you reacted, all of you reacted so positively to this message? And the guy said this. He said, during the rule of Popop, this was one of the guys that ruled there before, he tried to kill, well, first of all, he killed all the elite people, all the rich people, all the people trained, all the top people up there, you know. Then he started going to the villages where just the common, normal daily people were living, you know. And as they were, this specific village, as they got to this village, they were grouping the people together, and they had rifles, and they were lining them up with the rifles against their head, and they wanted to shoot them, kill them. And this one lady heard about a God that died by execution. And as they were closing their eyes, waiting to be killed, she cried out, oh God of execution, we die by execution. If you're out there, save me. And as she opened her eyes, the soldiers were away. And he said, ever since we're praying to that God, we died by execution. They never heard about the name of Jesus, but they heard about the God that died by execution. And this morning when you preach this message of the cross, we knew that we knew this God before, that we've met Him. And that's what's happening out there. So many people out there that might wonder this morning, that never made that prayer connection, but we're on this side. God wants us just to link up and to hook in, so that connection can be made. Let's bow our eyes this morning. Or heads. Lord, we just come to You this morning. And Father, we just want to say to You this morning, Father, that here we are. We don't always understand the purpose and power of prayer. We don't always practice that, Lord. Father, we just ask You that You will just come and energize that again, Lord. Just bring life to that, restore life to that, Lord. That we will understand prayer, that we will understand the purpose, Lord. that our lives will, that it will be a lifestyle of prayer, Lord. Where we seek you day and night, Lord. Where we live at that place where our prayers are fruitful, or our prayer life is a fruitful life, Lord. And Lord, where we are the connection, where you connect us, Lord. Where we are just that plug looking for that connection, Lord. Help us, Lord. Connect us to those that need you, Lord, this morning. And I just sense it appropriate this morning as we're ending the series that if you've got any prayer need this morning, anything whatsoever, it's a very wide invitation this morning, but I want to give you opportunity this morning while we just remain in the state that you would just, if you feel that you need prayer for something this morning, I want you to take the boldness this morning, the boldness that you can come to God. I want to pray with you. So I want to invite you, if you know you need prayer this morning, then you can come to the front. Jesus said to that blind man, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus knew that he was blind, but he wanted him to admit that. He wanted him to say, "This is what I need, Lord Jesus." Very often we sit at that place, we know it, but we don't want to admit it. And we say, "We're okay, I'll deal with that later." But I want to say to you, when God gives an invitation, when God extends that, don't refrain. Don't postpone it. Don't say, "Lord, later, I'll deal with that later when I get home." If you know you need your, there's something in your spirit that you're carrying this morning, and you know that you need prayer this morning, I want to say to you, you're welcome. I'm going to end the service. Those of you that want to go, you're welcome. But let's just allow the Holy Spirit to work here for a few moments. Thank you that you've come. May the Lord bless you, and I'll see you next week.